This is Will's Band of the Week for January 31st, 2021. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Nicholas from the Melbourne Bureau.
Hi, good to be back.
Jason from the Green Monster of Monona.
Hello.
It's a cozy-looking studio tonight.
It's pretty chilly down here.
That's what makes it look cozy, because you always have to dress with the heavy flannel.
I'm regretting not having my quilt that I had last time.
Oh, that's right. That looked so good. And special guest, Fred from Madison. Welcome, Fred.
Hello there.
Hey, so cool to have you here. And if we had video.
Thank you so much.
Fred's got a fire going, and it looks really cool, but we can't show
it
to the listeners.
It's definitely very cozy and very hygge, you know, as they say up there in Scandinavia or somewhere.
Which you would know. Fred is from Sweden originally. He's a
true indeed
world-traveling kind of guy. That fire looks really great. That's one of those, I forgot what they call those things. It's a great cylindrical fire thing. What do you call it?
Well, they're named after the great Han Solo. It's a Solo stove.
Solo stove? Okay.
Yeah.
It's burning very impressively.
It's a great burning device. It's nice to meditate a little bit around the fire in the middle of a snowstorm, which we're having here in Madison. I don't know how you guys are having it in Monona.
Yeah, I just actually looked out the door before we started recording, and I think we've already got an inch on the ground, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would report it's about 2 inches over here in Madison.
And probably, I'm just going to guess there's no snow right now in Melbourne.
It's true. Good guess there. It's about... probably about 25 degrees Celsius. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, but it's like a warm, kind of a warm summer's day. Not too hot, but certainly warm. You'd have a hat on.
25 Celsius.
Yeah, what would that
be? It's got to be about 75 degrees or something. And
yeah, that sounds
degrees.
About right.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Wow.
Lovely.
77, lovely. According to Google.
Oh, Jason was quick on that.
Well done.
It was a wild guess. I've had to translate those. Being Swedish and growing up in America, I still stay with the Celsius. I still stay with the metric system. And I have no idea what these Americans are doing with the inches and feet and Fahrenheit. I can hardly say the word. But in my car and on my phone, it's all Celsius.
Love it.
That's the way you can to go if you can. So you guys aren't as old as me, but back in the mid-70s, there was this effort for the United States to change to the metric system. So they would give the temperature in both every night on the weather forecast. They'd give both the Fahrenheit and the Celsius. Of course, that didn't work because people just didn't pay attention to the Celsius. So it was like they just gave up after a while. Classic American thing, right?
Must have been under that wonderful President Jimmy Carter building homes for the poor still, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if that would... It sounds about right around the Jimmy Carter years. Yeah. Well, this is going to be so fun. This is great. So I think probably the first thing we should do is something that's going to be incredibly exciting that we haven't done in almost a year. Ready for this? Here we go. Fred wouldn't know this, but that is the live report jingle. And
awesome.
We brought Fred on because he has a live report not just any live report. This is so great. So I'll just lead into it. So I was just scrolling through my Facebook page, and I saw a post that was like, I think it was Fred's girlfriend, you know, saying she was with Fred and mentioning the Flaming Lips show in Oklahoma City where everybody was in bubbles. I'm like, wait a minute. Did you actually go to this? And he did. So we have to hear about this.
Did.
Yeah. I mean, you're in Madison, right? And you went to the show.
Yeah, I'm in Madison, and I this show was originally scheduled back in December, and there was a spike in COVID in Oklahoma, so they decided to cancel it for 1 month. You know, like I thought, geez, maybe a little bit longer would have been great, but it was quite a long ride to go to see a concert. But I had not seen a concert since back in 349 days before I counted back, and it was Wilco at the Sylvie in Madison, and the place in Oklahoma was quite similar to the Sylvie, which is a brand new facility, got great sound. There's no place you stand in there or where you can't see. And it was a little bit crazy to go, but it was really no different than going to the grocery store or heading to Target to get your toilet paper or whatever you need, you know. It was quite exciting. Should I keep going?
Yeah, keep going.
I could. Well, it's quite bizarre to drive that far for a concert. I hadn't done that since, you know, I dabbled a little bit in the Grateful Dead back in the day, like a lot of people. And, you know, you'd tour with the Dead and you'd follow them and you'd go to Chicago and then you'd go to Cleveland and then you'd go to the next show, like Atlanta or something. And it was like a whole day's journey to get to the next show. And to actually conceive of going to a show a whole day's drive away in modern age seems quite bizarre. But considering everything that's been going on, it was just like it was a driving force hearing Wayne Coyne talk about the bubbles and having seen him in a bubble before. It made me feel maybe not completely confident that that would be safe, but at least a curiosity enough to drive all across halfway across the country to see this show. And it was well worth it. It was very interesting to see how awesome the staff at the Criterion handled things. They were, as soon as you popped your head in, they would check your temperature, and they basically looked like surgeons in there. They wore suits and gloves and masks and were very careful and led you to your circle or to your bubble. And we happened to follow Google Maps, and Google Maps unfortunately led us about a block astray, and so we were scrambling to get to the theater. And got there last, which was pretty good because we got a side bubble at the end and everybody had already gotten in their bubbles. The first song had started and it's like it got this zipper and you step into the bubble and then they blow cold air basically or air that came in from the outside into the bubble and it filled up the bubble. And you wore masks that whole time. And then as soon as the bubble was zipped up and filled up, it was about, I would say it's about 9 feet in circumference or diameter. And it was quite amazing. It filled up. You took off your mask. You were in there. They had left a little fan that said, be cool, stay safe. As, you know, on the fan, it glowed. I wish I had it. I should have had it to show you guys. And a sign that you held up, like with a little wooden stick, like a popsicle stick. And one side it said, I have to pee. The other side, it's getting hot in here. And, well, sure enough, I mean, we had already decided, well, we're not going to have any beers before the show because that's going to make us want to go to the bathroom. And who knows how do you go to the bathroom inside of a bubble? So we figured that if you wanted to go to the bathroom, you had to get out of the bubble, and that was like a risk zone, so no beers. And the first thing that happened was after about 5 songs, it started steaming up a little bit inside there, and they would come by if you held up the sign, it's getting hot in here. They would blow new air in there. And it was kind of curious like how safe that is, but it was an amazing experience. And you know, I think it's maybe the future for shows.
Everybody's got to do a bubble show now.
Yeah.
So how many people were in one bubble? Like two of you, well, in one, so you, or one person, so, per bubble?
So there's a picture out there on Wayne Coyne's Twitter feed, or not Twitter feed. I keep thinking about our former president, but on the Instagram. And there's basically squares. And so the floor is there, and then they've delineated 100 squares on that. So it looks kind of like a chess game, but with 100 squares, and there's a bubble in there, and that's what you zipped into. But there's 100 bubbles, and so there could be 3 people per bubble. There were not a lot of people that were 3 people to a bubble. I would say probably the majority was a couple to a bubble, but there's a lot of people that were singles to a bubble. And then there were a few threesomes in a bubble. You could see that those bubbles would steam up a lot quicker. And I'm a bigger guy. I'm about 6 foot, and I would say my girlfriend is the same size. And it was pretty, you know, it would have been tight to have 3 people in there.
Yeah.
So there was a max. I would say there was about 250 people at the show, and normally I would have guessed that there would have been, you know, anywhere between 800 or so people at that show. So wow. They, you know, it was an expensive thing. You could buy a bubble in the front rows for, I think it was $300, and then in the middle rows for $200, and in the back rows for $100. But I think, you know, they had a towel inside there. They had a little kit. You got a funky bandana made out of cannabis with some sort of Flaming Lips artwork on there. And, you know, they started off playing some really good songs. They played a shorter set for, you know, since we were all in bubbles. But it was quite an experience to see live music being performed again after a long period.
How was, like, the sound inside the bubble?
Well, it was really quite amazing because I wondered about that, because as I started talking to my partner in there, there was like wouldn't call it an echo, but more of a ricochet in there in your voice.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah,
on the floor they had like a sock with some sort of speaker device in it and a zip tie going around it, so you could hold it up like a purse, and with 3 or 4 blue dots on the white, you know, pull up knee high sock kind of thing. And that showed, so when you laid it down in the bubble, you'd want to face those blue dots outward or upward. And so there was a speaker device inside the bubble that augmented the sound. It enhanced the sound somehow, because there was still sound coming in from outside. But I also think that I'm not sure, but I'm curious if that also picked up sound, because at the end of a song, you know, you hear cheering and clapping and people excited and asking for this and that song, and it picked up some of that vibe, it seemed, as well.
So the sound quality was actually not that bad?
The sound quality was amazing.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, that, because that was what my first question was going to be, too. Because I thought, well, if you take a traditional sound system and you put yourself inside a bubble, it's going to sound pretty bad. So that is really, really cool. They really thought through this, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they've been talking about it for almost a year, and then they put together one of these shows some time ago for their local fans, and it was sort of a success, and they wanted to consider putting this on tour actually right now.
Wow.
Is what I hear.
That was like the immediate joke at the beginning of COVID, was that the Flaming Lips were all set for this, you know? Like, so I mean, it was just a matter of time before it really happened.
Right. Yeah. Well, it seems like the Flaming Lips have taken over the craziness that, you know, the Butthole Surfers used to have back in Texas and Austin. And going back, this another wonderful thing about this show actually was that it was Daniel Johnston's 60th birthday. And they played True Love Will Find You in the End.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, it might have been 3 or 4 songs in. And, you know, he started talking about how it was Daniel Johnston's 60th birthday that night, and it really touched me deeply, having seen him and having heard his music and followed him, and that song in particular, like True Love Will Find You in the End, as he passed this past year or whatever it was one of the best ones going around.
Yeah,
for sure.
Wow, that's
but honoring that, yeah,
that's the live report to end all live reports. Now we just there's nothing that can ever match that again.
Well, I've been back, you know, we left Friday morning and came back Saturday morning or came back Saturday night. You know, we drove across Saturday, so it was like a 24-hour drive over two nights.
Oh, my God. And, wow.
I have not gotten COVID. I'm COVID-free.
That's
which
good.
Is a big relief after after that. But I would recommend Oklahoma City to anybody. That place is quite unique. It looks very different.
Jason can tell you all about it.
Yeah, I'm from around Tulsa and spent some time near Oklahoma City.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's they've really built it up since I left, though. I think it's changed dramatically in the last 15 years or so.
Wow.
Since they got the Oklahoma City Thunder, I think that brought a little cash flow in.
A little thunder to the down under.
It's an NBA town now, so it's hit the big time.
Wow.
Well, wow. Awesome. Well, Fred, do you want to stick around for our, the rest of our music discussion?
Well, I'd love to hear some more music. I saw the two bands you guys were playing. I might have to bow out because I'm getting cold out here.
You could just get closer to the fire.
Yeah, I should do that. So I might move around. I don't know if there's a way for me to on video or whatever for a moment. But
you don't
we'll
have to
see if I can play.
You don't need to stay on video.
Yeah.
So.
But I'd love to hear you guys talk. And if you guys have any questions about the show or whatever, I'd love to answer them. I felt very safe, you know, like you go to the grocery store and people are running by you. So you walk, I can just say it as a final thing, like you walked in and then you zipped into the bubble. But when the show was done, you just rolled out the doors and down an alley and unzipped your bubble and kind of strapped it off you and popped out and ran free.
Well, I'm looking at some pictures, Fred, online, and it looks like something out of like a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
because it looks like something out of some weird, you know, movie out of the 70s or something that no one's ever heard of. Because, like, yeah, it just looks so weird. Everyone in these, it's like you're a little frog larvae or something like that. Everyone, all these people in these, you know, spheres. And so, the band members were all in their own bubbles as well. Yeah, so everyone on stage was in their own bubble playing.
Yeah, there was a bit of a bigger bubble for the drummer and his kid. But yeah, everybody
so weird.
Was bubbled up.
It's just really weird.
It's like Wayne Coyne's Nightly Dream or something. Like this is just home for him.
Right,
totally.
I think I might agree with that. It was quite surreal and quite sci-fi standing in there and hearing that sound of the Flaming Lips coming off, you know.
It's just great.
Well, it was cool to get a first-hand report.
Thanks, guys.
Very cool.
All right. Let's talk about, let's see. I'll make the call. Kiwi Jr.
Oh, okay.
You know, for some reason, this is their second album. And I listened to their first album and liked it. I think I even mentioned it on the podcast. I think we could go back into the archives and find that. You hear Kiwi Jr., you're like, well, it's got to be an Australian band. But it's not. It's a Toronto band. But it's kind of sound-wise, too. It's got a little, I don't know, it's got a little bit of that jangle, doesn't it?
Yeah, I thought there were a couple of little moments that were almost like some early tracks by The Church. Just slightly, maybe. But lots of great influences, it sounds like, sort of new and old. But we should probably listen to a track or something like that, Will, before we get into who they sound like. What do you think?
Yeah, we should. The album is called Cooler Returns. And I don't know. I kind of think there's an obvious pick, and then therefore I shouldn't pick it. So I'm going to try to be cool and pick a deep cut. So it's a 13-track album. Let's jump up to number 10, Nashville Wedding.
I'm tearing up this invitation to join you at the shoreline. Come and meet your new relations. Take it easy, man, on the white wine. If you're sewing wings to your dress, hey, you'd better come clean, princess. Oh, Tennessee, jumping into the deep end of time running. I'll break into your house. carpenter makes wine. I'll do yours if you'll do mine. I crawled out of the basement. You introduced me to Sebastian, and the smile on his face meant I was frowning at the pastor.
Kiwi Jr. So, well, one of the reasons I picked that track, you know, you're 10 tracks into the album, and the hooks kind of just keep coming. I think that's one of the strengths of the album. There's just a lot of good tunes throughout.
So many words. I cannot keep up with everything that he is spitting out. There's so much.
Right. I started following along the lyrics on a couple of them. Because
were they online? I should have looked at that.
On my Apple Music, they show up. So like some albums have them and some don't. Okay. So
very cool.
Yeah, yep. But that probably means they published them, right? So if it's on the streaming service, you know,
then they're
probably not hard to find. So
In that way, I thought of, and even the way he sings a lot, like I thought of Steve Malkmus from Pavement. Quite a bit.
Right.
And then somebody that was probably influenced by them, like the Parquet Courts a little bit, but maybe more, this is more like pop than the Parquet Courts are.
Yeah. There's one track that's a total Parquet Courts sounding song. let's play some more. As long as Jason's talking, why don't you take the next pick?
Okay. Well, I'll jump in. Was it, it's probably the obvious choice. Was track two, Undecided Voters?
Yeah.
Was that the obvious one?
Yeah, and I don't want to minimize I think the album is very consistent, but that one is just so catchy. So I was banking on somebody else choosing it. So
well, I'm your guy.
All right. Undecided Voters.
A desert grave, cry out, him there, that's Spartacus. But you're going to art school now, so what do you care anyhow? You take a photo of the CN Tower, you take another of the Honest Ed sign. Well, I take photos of your photos, and they really move people. I know online, undecided.
Undecided Voters, Kiwi Jr. The album is Cooler Returns. Yeah, how can you not like that?
I know. It's just repeat that chorus 3 or 4 times. I think you're good.
Yep. Nicholas,
I was kind of fantasizing. Yeah, well, I was being sort of fantasizing that like maybe there's another world where where music like this is like played on the radio and like millions of people really like it because it is so poppy and so catchy. It's like, oh, why can't this be what, you know, everyone listens to?
Right.
So maybe there is an alternate universe where, you know, everyone is listening to Kiwi Junior on their FM radio. Who knows? But yeah, it's definitely catchy. And it's funny you mentioned the lyrics and stuff like that. I love all of these songs, but I've got absolutely no idea what any of the songs are about. But for some reason, that doesn't bother me at all.
I feel the exact same way.
It's like, what are they talking about? But like, it's so kind of fun and free or something like that, you know. It's just doesn't really matter what they're talking about.
I feel like I need to like listen to the album about 20 times or something to really wrap my head around all of the things that he's saying. Because I just pick up little phrases here and there that are really, really clever and really funny and great.
Yeah, there was one little reference there, the CN Tower reference. So that's a Toronto reference. The CN Tower in Toronto is like the Space Needle in Seattle. You know, it's like this big symbolic thing on the skyline. So there you go. That's one reference that I knew. Nicholas, you want to make a pick?
Sure. This is, for some reason, I kept on coming back to this track. It's the second last song on the album. It's track 12, Norma Jean's Jacket.
So basically, you were just trying to outdo me with even more of a deep cut than my pick, right?
Yeah, that's how I prove how credible I am, by like how low down the track listing I can pick. Yeah, I'm gonna go second last. Whoa, I'm really credible.
Here it is.
Welcome, the young detective in the rain. His jacket is crying suede. It's so sentimental. Sobbing all night. He follows your dance. Heavy metal, you're purring around, turning him down. Yeah, like you're used to it. I can hardly stand it. Why not just drag it onto the street and shoot the damn video already? All of your
Kiwi Junior. Yeah, I really like that one a lot too. So I'm glad you picked it.
I find them sort of endearing, but also they've sort of got this conviction about their playing as well that I really like. And been watching some videos, and it's nice to note the singer plays a Dan Electro 12-string electric guitar. So not an acoustic, but a 12-string electric, which I think is part of that kind of jangly sound that we're all liking. But also the bass player is playing like a Fender, a Mustang bass. And I think it's like, I don't know if you kind of noticed the bass, it's really kind of plunky, but really quite you know, those Mustang basses have got this kind of really kind of quite a bright kind of forward kind of sounding. So it doesn't really sit back. It's kind of a bit more of an out there, you know, a sound that kind of cuts through a little bit in terms of the bass sound. And yeah, it's kind of another cool part of their sound as well, I reckon.
Yes, this is what they call a short scale bass for all the nerds out there.
Yeah.
You know, another really popular bass in the indie rock world is the violin style bass. You know, of course, the original was like the Hofner that Paul McCartney played, but now there's Hofners and there's knockoffs, and those are short scale too, and they're really weird to play because the strings are so close together compared to a standard size bass. But they have a pretty distinctive sound too. The band Tame Impala, they use one of those violin basses, when you know it, then it makes sense. If you sometimes, and the band Always too, one of our favorites, they use one of those too. So yeah, the Mustang bass. Let me name another band that has a Mustang bass. Real Estate, right? Our favorites. Yeah. Real Estate. I think the guy plays a Mustang bass. There we go. That's all I got.
Cool. And great drumming in this band as well. Notable drumming.
It's just a good band all around, right?
Yeah, they're really, really tight band.
The singer does remind me of the singer from the Modern Lovers.
Jonathan Richman?
Yeah, is that something that
I haven't listened recently enough to be able to think of exactly what he sounds like. That killed my indie rock cred right there.
I mean, I would say yeah, just from the amount that I've listened to. Just the way that the sing-talk type thing and just how clever they are with their choice of words.
Sing talk. I like that phrase, Jason.
I think I picked that up from Will at some point.
Yeah, I think if most bands that have a singer who half sings and half talks, I probably like them.
You can't be melodic all the time. You gotta You gotta vary it a little bit.
And you can do the sing talk, and then you can kind of let the instruments do the music part. Right, which is kind of cool too.
One other thing that I want to note was just the background vocals. A lot of time when those came in at certain points in songs, just really lifted different, different parts of the songs. And it was really nice, nicely put together.
Yep.
I was trying to think if there are any bands that ever were really popular that have a sound anything like this. And the only thing that I could come up with was like the Strokes. And I know that's like, 10 years ago or more. And there's a tiny bit of that kind of sound here. But I don't know, are there any other bands that have sort of become really mainstream that are anything like this kind of sound?
Seems like not bands that become huge, you know.
Are you saying like recently or?
Well,
I get a like kind of Kinks vibe from some stuff, when they, but also I'm thinking of the stuff that probably wasn't as popular in back in the day whenever it was like Village Green with the acoustic guitars and stuff. But that's the only thing that I really think of that might have been somewhat popular.
I kind of feel like we're kind of like it's almost taken for granted, or we're kind of resigned to the fact that like millions of people aren't going to get into these bands. But then when you sort of like listen to it like closely, it's like, oh, there's, you know, there's such a great band with such, you know, such great songs. Like, you know, it seems like just a bit of an injustice, I suppose, that all these great bands are just basically kind of like small indie rock bands.
I'm sure they would agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah. One more thing I'll say about this. This album, it's probably because it's a January release. It seemed like there was quite a bit written about it beforehand. Like, oh, this album is going to be coming out. And maybe I was just paying attention because I heard the last one. But, you know, I read enough about it that I thought, okay, I think this maybe isn't going to be that great. It's probably, you know, the write-ups are going to be, you know, better than what the album turns out to be. And actually, it turned out to be the other way around. I actually like this more than I thought I would, because I think it's just really consistently good and enjoyable and fun. So it's in my top 10 already for 2021, but you know, it could get bumped.
I think it might be in my top 3 at the moment.
Yeah, there's two. I have two right now. I have a top 2. That's all I have. So like we were saying last week, you know, maybe 9 more albums will come out. They'll get bumped out, but it might stay in there. It's possible.
Yeah, it's a good album. Yeah, like I said, it's consistent. It's like you could kind of pick any of the songs on the album, and they're all great, really, in my opinion.
Yeah, there aren't any where you like you have to avoid them, where you say like, oh God, I wish you wouldn't have picked that one. That's like just that one's not good. So, all right, very good. We'll move on to our next 2021 release. We are really like on a roll now, and I'm looking at my. My playlists here of new music. 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got 4 more albums from 2021 already that could be podcast worthy. So that's exciting that the releases are starting to come out. So
love it.
We got one more, at least one more. Palberta. They are okay. I'm gonna use a strange phrase for Palberta. You guys would not expect this phrase to be used. Indie rock veterans. Like, they've been around for a long enough now, they can almost be indie rock veterans.
What? Really? How many albums have they put
out? Well, it's at least their third. I think it's their third album.
Wow, and you get that sort of status on this podcast after 3 albums. That's amazing.
Okay, I guess I was exaggerating. But I think even before... God, it might have even been before Palberta existed. I know that... Grant talked about one of their members, Nina Reiser, who is just a very, very prolific artist. She's been putting out stuff just for years, like all kinds of stuff. Some under her own name. Then there's the Palberta stuff. I think she might have one or two other bands. And everything she does...
It looks like maybe 2015 their first things came out, perhaps.
Okay, so maybe not quite indie rock veterans, but but not as brand new as you might think. And I was going to say, it seems like everything that they do and that Nina Reiser does is sort of like this. There's some kind of a freeform jazz influence or something. It's very loose and sometimes discordant, and they always seem like they're having fun. So, and I have seen them twice live. One time, R.I.P. The Frequency in Madison, which is just great. And then South by Southwest at one of our favorite little venues called Cheer Up Charlie's. And that was cool. So, new album called Palberta 5000, which makes it sound like, doesn't that sound like a speed metal album or something? they're from, I don't know where they're from originally. They're either from Brooklyn or they moved to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom. It's 3 women just having some fun. So the word on this album, which is I think pretty accurate, is it's got more pop influences than their previous stuff. The previous stuff, it was very hard to find a traditional chorus, for example. And this album actually has probably half the songs have a normal chorus. I'll start. Let's play one that has some of the more catchy elements to it. This album has 16 tracks. Now I have to count. This is number 11, Corner Store.
I'm not afraid to saw you on the front of the Sunday Times. I saw you at the corner store. I see you everywhere you go. Walked around and now it's Sunday. I saw you on the front of the Sunday Times.
Palberta, the new album is Palberta 5000.
It's quite a nice bass intro there.
Oh yeah, it's great, right? Right. But what do you think of that bass sound, Nicholas?
Meaty, a meaty bass sound throughout. Yeah. That would be my description of that bass sound, meaty.
Right. Yeah.
Is that straight through a gigantic cabinet and mic'd up with two microphones or something?
Doesn't it just sound like it sounds like it's just a straight plug the Fender Precision into an Ampeg SVT with an 8x10 cabinet. That's got to be what it is. It's just the classic. Great sound,
like
I think.
I don't know that band, the members' names, but the person playing bass with a pick and giving it lots of attitude on the strings as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Adds to the meatiness.
Love it, yeah. Yep, that's Palberta. You know, I read about, read some reviews of this album, and I have never been able to, ever since I've been listening to them, I've never been able to come up with another band that I thought they sounded like. But then I heard a comparison, and I thought, okay, that's sort of legit. Like early Slater Kinney, and somebody mentioned that. I'm like, okay, yeah, there's some places on here where I think that's a legitimate comparison. But I can't think of any. That. Can you think of anybody else? Like, what's
I would say another three piece all female band. Was it Grass Widow?
Oh, I remember them. Yeah.
Like the when they're sort of melodic on that last song.
Right.
They really remind me of them a little bit.
That makes
sense.
And
there's a Melbourne band who are no longer together, but you can find their music online, called The Foots, FOOTS, The Foots. And, also a female trio. Similar kind of sound. And some bits reminded me of Trash Kit. I think you might have talked about them on the podcast before. It's got the main person out of Shopping.
Oh, right.
That band.
Yep.
And
I
don't know, just kind of similar in that it's a little bit not exactly straightforward kind of musically, and like you're talking about that kind of angular or avant-garde kind of sound, non-traditional kind of structure and that sort of thing. And
right,
even little bits of guitar reminded me of Steve Albini's playing in Shellac. Kind of really stringy, kind of aggressive playing, but not overly distorted. I don't know if you're kind of familiar with the shellac guitar kind of sound, but some bits had a bit of that for me as well.
Another thing about them, they switch off on instruments. Like they play maybe three or four songs, and then they just like rotate.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
I think all three of them might play like all three instruments. So it's
that's cool.
It's pretty fun. Yeah, and they always seem like they're having fun too. So it's, as sometimes when they get really discordant, you're like, oh, they must be really serious. You see them playing this stuff, and they just look at each other and smile. You know, it's great.
This makes me want to see a live show. They need to break out some bubbles.
Right, absolutely. Palberta Bubble Show. one of you guys want to make a pick?
Hey, Nicholas, you want to go ahead?
Sure. This is another one that I thought had a tight and meaty kind of sound. Track 5, Fragile Place.
Don't step too close. Don't step up close. Back and forward. Don't step too close.
Palberta. Yep.
You get the sense that that could fall apart at any moment in the middle of that song.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, I loved like the in the fragile place part, and then the
yeah.
Jason, you kind of read my mind. That was one of the things I was that I was loving about this band too. Yeah, it's kind of like their sweet kind of harmonies kind of give it this sort of this sort of sweetness and warmth, and yeah, exactly the guitars and the drums and bass. Yeah, it sounds like you could all just like they're tumbling down a set of stairs together or something like that, yeah. But always seem to land on their feet. Somehow it's kind of really adventurous. I really like it musically. It's kind of adventurous and sort of colorful and cartoony or something like that, and fun, but I feel like it's got this little bit of anxiety that's kind of pushing it along.
Yeah,
like gives it a kind of a compelling kind of edge somehow. So I kind of like all those little flavors that are pulling it in slightly different directions at the same time.
Yeah. Cool. You guys can describe this better than I can. I'm the least articulate reviewer.
Vocal harmonies. There's not like I feel like a lot of the bands that you know that we talk about. There's not really a lot of vocal harmonies, like particularly in a kind of a you know maybe if it's something like Laura Marling, you know, is full of amazing harmonies, but she's done all those in the studio. But when it's like a kind of a live kind of indie rock thing, there's not always a lot of vocal harmonies. So it's that kind of gives it, you know, makes it a bit sort of a bit special, and it gives it kind of that pop. I feel like we all love pop, even though maybe we're not going to say it out front, but I feel like everyone on this podcast loves pop, so when it's really poppy, we love it.
Pop in some form, at least, yeah. Well, Jason, do you have a pick?
Well, I'm going to pick what I probably should have named my band instead of Red Pants. I probably should have picked Red Ants.
With a Z.
I do quite like it when they get really kind of pretty, so this is a pretty nice song, I thought. Trees in the park and rows, drop us in the road. I know no sound on the radio. Look past and away I go now. Think back, you don't know me though. I speed fast, tracks and goes. Staying home on the radio. Look past and away I go now. I know there's nothing wrong about this day.
Was not the whole song. There was a little bit more of a fade there, but it's a minute 57, that song. So I think, Jason, you should do a cover of that just so that there's Red Ants by Red Pants, right?
Oh,
just
nice.
Be cool.
Yeah,
right.
I'll have to contact them to find out what their crazy angular tuning that they're using probably is or something.
It's funny, you know, like when I'm practicing songs for like some of the bands I play in, you know, played covers, right? So you got to play, figure out how to play along. Actually, I figured out the greatest way to learn a song now. I've figured it out. I've finally found it. I've got a set of headphones that are noise canceling, but they're in-ear headphones, are the Apple ones. And they have noise canceling that you can either turn on or off, okay? So if you turn the noise canceling off, then you can hear the outside noises, plus the sound is still like going straight into your ears. So it's great for like playing along with things. So like I was trying to learn a couple songs just recently in anticipation that someday we'll be able to play in bands again. And what a perfect setup. I mean, you feel like you're playing, you're like placed in the band because you've got your these headphones on, and then you're, and then the sound of what you're playing comes through really well too. So it's just really great. I was just thinking, though, like trying to do that, like with that last song, it's like, what are they playing on that bass? You know, it's like, wait a minute. It'd be a little, it's not obvious stuff, right? It's not AADD, you know? Oh, man. Well, there's one song on this album, though, that I would like, probably just like want to delete. And I think you guys tell me, is this like, are they trying some kind of inside joke on this? It's track two, Big Bad Want. It repeats the same line like over and over and over again to the point where you're like, please stop.
I mean, it goes for a while.
It goes like a minute and a half repeating. Right. And I'm thinking, were they trying to like imitate a skipping record, or were they just trying to say, let's just do this because it's funny? Or
I think, I mean, there's a couple of times when they do that sort of repeating, not to this extent, but
right, right.
I noticed that there was a couple of times where they're kind of repeating things for a while.
Yeah. But
yeah. I would kind of get to that because I've been doing some DIY housework and around like this weekend, and I was listening to it and okay, this is you know, hour 10 of me working on this painting project, and this song is just going over and over again, yeah, with like, whatever line it was.
Right, right. Well, let's play like 15 seconds of it so the listeners can get an idea. I'll fade it in. Okay, so it does that for like a full minute and a half.
Yeah,
it just keeps
thinking, oh,
going.
What's the big deal? But yeah, when it keeps going and going, it's got to be a joke.
Yeah, it has to be.
Later on in the album, they have an 18-second song that I'm pretty for sure is the theme to Jeopardy.
Oh, is it really?
I think so. Like the track 12, I'm Z Dunn.
I don't know. Let's play it and find out.
It's a theme of something. I couldn't figure it out.
Oh yeah! Oh, that's
like, and they're doing when they're answering the big question at the end or something.
I think that is Jeopardy. That sounds right. I mean, I haven't seen it in like 40 years, but
yeah, it's not exactly. You know, it's a sort of avant-garde interpretation.
Yeah,
but. So I think they're just like clowning on people with this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say, I really like the repetition pick, especially that first bit that you're playing, Will. For some reason, there's something about repetition in music that I really like, because I feel like you can kind of really like lean into it and really kind of, it's like a solid wall that you can really lean your shoulder up against and push as hard as you want to against it, and it's not going to go away. It's something that I like about it sounds like you guys sort of got irritated after a while, but for some reason that jumped out at me. It's like, oh, I really like this. I really like that they're actually repeating this, and they just do it for a really long time. So
you didn't get, you know, you didn't get bothered. What, you'd have to have a limit, though, right? What if they did it for 5 minutes?
Well, all I'm saying is that I liked how they did it on the album, and actually stood out to me as a bit that I particularly liked. So,
maybe
because it's actually repetitive.
Maybe they'll come to Australia and they'll close with a 10-minute version just for Nicholas.
Yeah, just for Nicholas. Wasn't there a famous gig where, in the early days of Deer Hunter, wasn't there a story about they did a gig and they just played an 18-minute version of My Sharona or something like that?
Sounds pretty familiar.
Have to like dig into the indie rock archives for that one. But
in recent years, I remember Lowe taking some flack for going up, and they had a, I don't know if it was some sort of small festival show where they showed up and they played this 25-minute song called like something about waltzing. God, what is that song called? Learning How to Waltz or something like that. But it's this 25-minute like drone thing, and I think people were a little upset with them because that was their entire set was 25 minutes, and they played that one song and they could have walked off.
Yeah, and then if like if you're a fan of the band, you're like, and you could have used that time to play some of my favorites. Oh, well, you know, sometimes you gotta admire a band just doing something really creative. So, yep. All right. Well, Nicholas is going to give Palberta a pass for that repetition
totally.
There.
They get extra points in my book.
All right. Well, it's a people will know if you like what you heard. I think they're a fun band to listen to when you're not necessarily wanting to just listen to something that's like really easy, but something that's a little, it's kind of challenging and it's kind of fun and kind of a little different sometimes than what we listen to.
Way to put it, I think I didn't really fully like it that much when I first listened to it, but like by the second or third time listening to it, it's like it kind of won me over. So
yeah,
I feel like it did take a little bit of persistence, but well worth it.
I wish we were going places. I would like to put it on in the car and make my children listen to it to see what they thought of it.
See what their reaction would be.
This would be either something that they would absolutely just love or completely hate and yell at me.
Well, when I saw them live, especially the show at the Frequency, it was like the perfect vibe for a live show because it had this sort of... I don't know if they're actually being spontaneous, but it feels like spontaneity, I guess, because it's not something that you go into and you know the songs really well, right? And you don't have like the verse and the chorus memorized, like you sometimes do. And so it had this feeling of unpredictability, which just made it super fun. It was just such a great, engaging live show. I thought it was really cool. Now, if they come around and you guys see them, they'll be like, nope. That was totally inaccurate. That's not what they're like. but that was my thought at the time. So, well, we're over an hour, but we're not like horribly over an hour. So I kind of was hoping Nicholas could tell us about his trip and those cool records that you showed us photos of. They looked so cool.
Yeah, I wonder if it would be worth kind of saving that story for another episode, Will, where we could maybe... We'll listen to some of the tracks. What do you think?
Sure. Yeah, we could do that. So tell us how you encountered all that, though. Just do a little teaser.
Yeah, well, so it's kind of the end of the, I guess, summer holidays here in Australia. School, people, school students are on, I guess it's like your summer break that you have in September or whatever. We have it over sort of December and January, so... my family and I just did a little bit of camping and then visited a friend in someone's beach house. And I guess, do you ever go to like a holiday house or something like that that you might rent for a weekend or a few days? And, there's always like a bookshelf full of books and a cupboard full of board games and sometimes maybe some CDs and... Yeah. This time there was some records, some LPs and some singles, and I was just kind of, one afternoon I thought, oh, I'll just sort of see what's here. I could see there was originally a David Bowie album, but then as I sort of pulled them out, it looked like, wow, I reckon the person that owns this beach house is about my age, like kind of mid to late 40s, and maybe they were from Western Australia because there was all these sort of 45s, 40, singles, we call them here in Australia, of these sort of indie rock bands from the second part of the 80s that I hadn't heard anything. Well, some of them I didn't even know, but some of them I kind of remembered, from years ago. So it just kind of struck me as, this might be kind of a fun thing to delve into some of these bands that maybe listeners would know or not know, as just as a bit of a random way of finding some old music that people might still appreciate. I guess I'm trying to think if there was any really well-known bands. I guess the Stems. No, the Triffids. The Triffids was probably the most well-known kind of band that there was an album of, but also another band called The Stems. But yeah, some great bands, and I guess it just kind of struck me as like, maybe it's just that thing of the passing of time. It just kind of reminded me of like, at the time these were kind of like important bands, or like bands that people really liked, and artists that people really got into. And then 20 or 30 years goes past and some of them have continued on and some of them just kind of get a bit forgotten about, I suppose. And it's kind of the funny thing about dusty 45s that you find on a shelf in a holiday house that you randomly find yourself in.
That's pretty cool.
How's that for a teaser?
Yeah, that's good. So maybe you can put together a playlist of a bunch of really cool songs from Australian bands of that era or something like that. That'd be really cool.
Great.
We got into a little... you mentioned the Triffids, and we got into a little conversation about them. That's a cool band. Underrated. Yeah, you don't hear a lot about them.
Yeah, and some of these bands, it's interesting to kind of hear you guys who are obviously in America talking about some of these bands, because obviously, I know who they are, and lots of people in Australia who are into music know bands like the Triffids, but sometimes it's hard to know, does anyone in America know who the Triffids are? And you guys know a lot about the Go-Betweens and stuff like that. So it's not like these bands were huge in Australia. It's not like they were like AC/DC were in Australia. Yeah. They were still just kind of like basically alternative bands, but some of them became really popular at the time. But I often never really know how well known they are out of Australia at all.
Yeah, because sometimes it's some sort of a random thing, right? Some label just picks them up, and then they just get a little cult following in some other part of the world. And well, okay, that's a good teaser. In addition to all the good new music that's coming out. So,
yeah, we'll dive into it sometime in the first part of this year, let's say.
And you guys don't have any more, somebody's telling me that, the Australian Open tennis tournament was being played, and it's just like the stands are full and nobody's wearing a mask and it's all cool. Because you guys are I can't believe that.
Not sure. I often don't follow the news. I don't know whether it's actually, has it even started? Has it? The Australian Open. I know that there was a big thing about players coming over here being quarantined and stuff like that.
I don't follow it that closely, but a friend of mine just brought it up, and just to make the point that Australia has their act together, way, way better than the United States as far as the coronavirus goes.
Well, yes, by comparison, but it is still a big issue. It's not like we've eradicated it here, and people that are coming even from different states in Australia still need to be quarantined, and we still have a little outbreak. We might have a city or a state that doesn't have any new cases for, a few weeks, and then suddenly there'll be a little outbreak and people have to go into lockdown and stuff like that. So it's still a big issue, and we still have to be really careful, because I guess what we've discovered is that it just seems to be a really it's a fragile balance, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, in Melbourne, we've had lots of, pretty serious lockdowns, and then the numbers went right down, but then they will just sort of like, they will just kind of like jump up again. And so it's even though we've had times when we've got our numbers right down, it's sort of like we've got to be really careful that we just don't don't get complacent and you know, because it'll feels like it's really easy for the numbers to jump up again. So yeah, still kind of an issue, but we're certainly I feel very lucky to be living in Australia in terms of how COVID's going. But it's definitely still an issue, and we're definitely not over it.
Well, we won't be over it until a lot of people are vaccinated. It's not a lot yet. So, Jason, are you in line? Do you get an early vaccine?
I think I might end up being in the second tier.
Yeah, I was thinking should be. Yeah, since you're a frontline.
My wife, who is a doula, she just got her second dose yesterday.
Oh, she did. Okay.
Yeah, so she can leave now. She's out of here.
Wow, she could. Yeah, all kinds of things she could do.
I know.
I heard wild. That the worst thing is it makes your arm hurt for a little while. But
she didn't feel great last night. She just was really wiped out, and yeah, her arm hurt. And I just tried to get her to move it every once in a while, you know.
Yeah, they say the second dose you can get a little bit of like flu-like symptoms for like 24 hours. But that's like everybody gets that.
She's been fine today though, and so that's good.
Wow.
And the first dose she didn't notice anything. So
wow, let's ramp up that production.
Seems like they're headed in that direction.
All right. That's the coronavirus update without Nicholas's jingle.
Ugh. What? He didn't play my jingle, man. Come on.
You got totally ripped off. All right. Let's. This is, again, the challenge to sign off before the listeners delete the file, right? They're about to hit that delete button. So
sounds like a plan.
All right. Thanks, you guys. And thanks to Fred,
thank
too.
You.
That was awesome. And we'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.